And we are back again, this time with a win, baby. Beating the best team in the West. 8-game win streak over, baby. How you feeling, Dave?
Man, I love this. I feel like this is, again, starting into this Josh Giddey, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander show. And it doesn't make me more proud. There's nothing that makes me more proud right now than watching these two guys just come out of their shell playing like men, man. But let me just ask you this, man. How does this win make you feel?
Man, I feel like we just turned that shit all the way up, man.
Man.
All the way up. Dude, I can't believe how awesome this game was. I was scared. I was scared because when we get up by, you know, a margin that it's like, you know, under 10 points, those games are dangerous for us. And you can say whatever you want about this team. They know how to win games. They know how to do it at home. And we had to go into their place and win it under whatever circumstances that we were faced with. And that close out of the game, there was no sense that it was automatic. Mm. Like, there was a real vibe that this was not our game to win.
Yeah.
And we were able to do it on both ends of the court. Obviously, it wasn't a perfect game. If they had hit free throws, if they had done a few other things that were at a higher level, we may not have won that game. Yeah. So we have a lot to learn about or learn from. But, dude, we just beat the best team in the West.
Yeah, and everybody would be like, well, they didn't have Jokic. And yes, I understand that. But we've also learned that when we're playing against a team, they don't like to play their best players right now. Second of all, is when you're playing against a team and you take their best players out, it usually gives them the opportunity for everybody else to shine. In a way, it's more difficult to beat a team if you take out their best player in the NBA the way it's going right now.
Well, the 76ers, they didn't have Embiid. They beat us at our place, and then we go beat them with Embiid.
Exactly. And you rely on your stars, your superstars. And when you don't have them, it's like, okay, well, we all have to step up. And so in my opinion, the way that Denver Nuggets played, man, it was way more of a team basketball than I've seen them play recently. And, you know, that's encouraging for Denver folks. But I just, man, I was stoked. And we had one of our listeners was at the game last night, Scummy 425.
For sure.
All right, 4205, right? He was beat the fourth row back. He had a white Josh Giddey shirt on with a blue hoodie underneath and a Thunder beanie. You guys, if you're watching the game or watch the game, he's four rows back from our bench. And definitely check that out because it's always awesome when we have a listener, and we've had one go to a few games now that have let us know. So it's always great to hear when we have a listener that goes to a game, and so we can try to spot them out. And so happens that Scummy 4205, bro, you had the perfect seats so that anything big that happened, you saw. And that pass that was the inbounds pass from Josh Giddey to Shai was right fucking in front of you, man. What a gift from last night, man.
So, yeah, I mean, like, overall, other than Kenny Hustle, who scored 11 points, we had no other players than Josh Giddey and Shai in double figures. So that kind of tells you how the game went as far as like balance and stuff. We had contributions on both ends of the floor from everybody. But like that pass that you're mentioning really kind of sums up the game in a way. Like while Giddey scored 14 points in the first half and he was like on a roll, in the second half, it was the ball movement that really defined the game. And
you're right.
It was this game of you know, trying to play catch up with like the Mavericks were, and the right pass to the right person at the right time kept them just out of reach of the game. And that inbounds pass, bro, like it was a late developing play, and Shai went to the backdoor cut, gave
but
a ball
dude, that
fake
move.
With 5 seconds left on the shot clock, and then hit that bucket. I mean, like you said, bro, like that move.
Okay, let's talk about that move because he had drawn up Ben Gordon as guarding him, which big body, physical play. Because what did the Denver Nuggets expect him to do? You know, get the ball on the perimeter, and it would allow Gordon to be that physical, tall presence, right? What does Josh Giddey do? He tells Shai, go back door. I mean, the eyes tell everything, guys. Like, there was no doubt about it. He takes a step out to where Ben Gordon thinks he's going, and then he just slips right back door. And it was so beautiful. It was so perfect. There was no talking. There was no hand motions. You know, it was Ben Gordon's on him. It's obvious. They want Shai to go out and get the ball. What are we going to do? We're going to get Shai inside. That's not what they were expecting. And it was a perfectly drawn up play in Josh Giddey's brilliant mind of, look at Shay, my eyes.
Yeah, and look, we've been fans of the NBA since like the early 90s, right? And we've seen the Thunder really, you know, since before they were the Thunder, when it was the Hornets and it was Oklahoma City, and it was Chris Paul being the young maestro point guard. We've seen Russell Westbrook come up. My point here is that what we're seeing with Josh Giddey is not normal. Mm-hmm. It's not normal by the standard of watching players who are 75 greatest players. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you watch those guys come up, you can tell that this is not normal. And it's something that we keep talking about. It's this contagious passing thing. But the reality is the ball moved from side to side in a sense that we've never seen before. It never got stuck. It was never stagnant. And the game, as the pressure increased, right, then the opportunities for the right pass actually increased. And we saw Giddey early put his head down and get to the basket and make them say, okay, he's a problem. If we don't stop that, then we're in trouble. So he would put a dribble on, he would notice the defense, and then he would just spray it out. I mean, there was timely shots by everybody, but those timely shots were met with timely passes. And we've seen a guy average a triple-double. This is beyond anything. You can look at those three assists and be like, he didn't have a great passing game. No, this was a masterpiece.
Let's break down his passing game. All right. Because what he did in general was attack the hole, made it so that they had to guard him and they had to collapse in order for him to pass the ball. But when people collapse on Josh, that means that there's two or three open guys around the perimeter. What does Josh do that so well? He recognizes where those help defenses are coming from, and he passes the ball right to that person. Now, they have two options typically. First, you can take that shot, right? But usually there's one other defender that's close by. And what they do, and I love what these guys do, is they catch the ball acting like they're going to shoot, and they make that next pass, all right? That next pass is the money every single time. And we saw a ton of it. We saw Kenny Hustle do it last night, you know? Kendrick Williams, we had him in a position where Shay was driving hard. Josh Giddey was driving hard, right? And Josh would pass to Kenny because Kenny's always there, man. Every single time I've ever watched Josh, he just smiles when Kenny's wide open because it's perfect. But he passes to Kenny, and Kenny would fling the ball around to the wide open guy. And this is unselfish team basketball. And someone that's like somebody like Josh that's like, I want to have as many impact moments as possible, right? For him to be able to recognize that it's the first pass that starts the offense, right? It's that first pass that starts the offense to find that open man. And when Josh creates an unbelievable drive, and listen, I watched it four or five times that first quarter and the second quarter where Josh is just driving to the hole, right? Mm-hmm. And he looks so smooth and so good. And like one of the times he drove to the hole on the way back, like he starts talking to himself, you know, like he's got that swagger, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that swagger is something you can't teach. And then you're seeing what he's putting out game in, game out, and it's 9 rebounds and 18 points and 2 offensive rebounds and a steal and a block. And he's taking care of the ball, and he's shooting 19 for 17 from field goal range. And, like, this is a star starting to bud. And to me, there's nothing better and there's nothing sweeter. And that's why we get stuck talking about Josh so much, is because he's next level for any team in the NBA. If they had Josh Giddey, they would say that he's a top 3 pick in that year draft. Mm-hmm. But the fact is because we're small market, we're getting fucked. I mean, we don't have any massive, you know, we don't have any games that are going on local TVs at all. You know what I'm saying? Or not, yeah. TVs, cable
national
TV. Yeah, national TV. Like, we have one, but it wasn't even supposed to be there. And this is what's so frustrating, is that, like, because of that, Shea's votes are getting hurt, you know? You see, if Shay has an opportunity to become MVP, like, the only way for Shay to do that now is by going insane numbers, because national TV is not picking up our games. And then you see Josh Giddey, and he's putting all these insane stuff out, and nobody's really seeing it except for the teams that we're playing. And everybody's like, damn, Josh can play. But that's it, because there's no other stuff out there that's giving us the big shout-outs that we need. And it's frustrating this year, but next year is going to be different, because if we're making the playoffs this year, this will be the last year our national – you know, we don't get national recognition, because this is bullshit, in my opinion.
Absolutely, man. And they'll have to figure it out. And you mentioned it, the SGA MVP argument. You know, we spent a whole podcast yesterday talking about that. And so check that out if you haven't heard it. But really, The whole point is that if we exceed expectations by so much and we get into the sixth seed and you look at Shea and you think he's the guy, the reason that this happened, you have to put him at least in the top three. Probably this is his year to win it. And I understand some people aren't ready. He doesn't have the name recognition. It's a popularity contest and all that stuff. But in the end, we're going to make the case for Shea because he's our guy. Now, dude, let's talk about some of this balance, because we saw lots of different, like, we have to see lots of different defensive looks when, you know, when we're up against these different types of situations. So, and rebounding is always an issue with us. So you look at everybody who played got rebounds, at least two of them. Okay.
Sure.
That's what we need. We need that gang rebounding mentality, and we saw it. And everybody who played, except for two players in limited minutes, got at least an assist. Okay. And most of them got at least two. The ball is moving. The ball is moving in a way we've never seen before. And we can look at it and say, this is coach, and it is. He's incentivizing the right movement. But this is a new style of basketball for us Americans. And I don't think that this is all that new for the Australians who have been watching for a while. When they talk to us about other sports like Australian football, and they say, like, Josh Giddey's passing to the open spot. You know, he's utilizing some of the fundamentals in different sports, and he's leading players into the open part of the court with his pass. And that's all new to us, but we're learning, we're seeing other players do it. And when you look at this and you say there's a team win, well, the way that the team wins is by being all on the same page. And the way that we won by being all on the same page this time was that ball kept popping. And when you get to that fourth quarter, traditionally, especially in the NBA, the possessions get tighter, things get harder to do. And all we saw, like, I'm not saying that didn't happen, because things did get harder, but all we saw was trusting the pass even more. Less on the dribble, less on ISO, more on team ball. Like, that's, if you're going to win, you want to win that way. You want to win any way you can, but if you could pick the way you win, that's the way to win.
Man, I want to jump back to something you said about rebounds, and respectfully, I disagree that we get killed on the rebounds. We get killed individually by individuals on the rebounds.
But there's possessions, but, bro. There's possessions where they shoot two, three, four times in a possession.
But I have never seen a team in the NBA that rebounds on the defensive end all five players like they do. Like, I have, like, listen, even when a offensive rebound has happened, there's still three guys around that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like to me, I look at the way this team rebounds and boxes out and uses their bodies. And yes, for all, like, reasons for not having a guy taller than 6'9" on the floor, you know, we should be getting killed, like, fucking destroyed on the offensive boards. But guess what we're doing? We're limiting. Last night we had 14 offensive boards. Denver had 10. We had 32 defensive boards. We had 36. Denver had 32. That's what we're doing. And they had guys that were obviously, you know, I wouldn't call them centers, but I would call them strong power forwards at 7 or 6'10", you know, and we were able to limit their rebounds. Yes, they ended up with two guys with double doubles, but I look at this and I say, this is what this team does so well, is that they take the rebounds out of it. You know, they make it so that we equalize on offensive boards because of the way we go out there. If we're not equalized, and it's typically that we're up one or two, or they might, you know, the other team might get up one or two, but our offensive boards are so elite that it equalizes so much other shit that we do. And I'm looking at, in general, I love rebounding. Okay. Rebounding is one of those things that I love to teach. I used to teach this thing. It was called locate, rotate, and motate. For all those guys that are my students out there that are listening to the podcast, you guys know what I'm talking about. If you guys have kids that are playing hoops and you're trying to teach them how to rebound, I will do a conference call with you and I will teach you guys locate, rotate, and motate. I don't give a shit, because this is one of the most important things out there for rebounders. And what I'm seeing out there with this Thunder team is everybody's doing it. So when I'm seeing it, I'm just, again, I'm so floored by Coach D and the coaching staff being able to recognize that in order for us not to get destroyed every single night on the boards, we have to do it as a team. And what are we doing? I mean, look at it. Our boards are insane. Everybody, Mark just said, everybody had two. It's because everybody is fucking rebounding. And that's That's so next level. I mean, we're doing all the small things, right? And all the small things are adding up. And eventually it just keeps on adding up to wins because we do all the small things right. All the hustle plays, all the rebound hustles, all the charges, all the steals, all the block shots. They're all adding up right now.
Let's give a really quick shout out to Darius Bazley because everything he did out there was the right thing. He got off the ball quickly. He defended at a high level. He passed. I already said that, but he rebounded already. Mentioned that. That block he had on Eric Gordon was excellent. He had another one that was an almost block that they called a foul. But I feel like we're getting the right type of Bazley. You might look at that stat line and see 0000051. You know what I mean? And I understand why you might think that's not great. But he's doing what the coaches want him to do. And we are seeing the right type of Bazley. We're seeing the right team out there. And I would say, like, if we looked at this game, if the alternate universe, we had lost this game, right? I wouldn't look at it and say it was the player's fault. I would look at this and say, like, those refs were committed to putting the guys on the line over and over and over again. And that it almost became the third game where we lost because we got just smashed on the free throw discrepancy. I mean, I think they shot 18 to
plus 17.
It was a plus 17. I think they shot 18 to 4 in the first half. And so we knew we weren't going to get a friendly whistle.
17 for 33, though, man. Like, we hit three less free throws than they did. I'm sorry, guys.
No, but you nailed it, bro. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That is the game. If it flipped, if it went the other way, we'd look at that and we'd circle it and say, okay, so now here's the thing. Do we want to blame the refs or can we get better? We can get better at defending without fouling. I know we
can. Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. And it's powerful, man. And understanding, like I said, is there's so many things that we're doing and, you know, watching Jay Will out there, right? And I mentioned this before on podcast pass is that like he needs to be out there learning how not to foul. Right. And once he learns how to do that in the G League and all the other times that he's getting out there right now, he would be a better player. And it's the same thing across the board. And Lu Dort, he's so close to making these, you know, incredibly hard drives to the bucket. They're so close to going in. You know, we're so close to seeing a really good version of Dort. And everybody's like, I didn't see Dort that happening with Dort. Look at the things that Dort's doing and driving to the hoop. You never, ever, ever want to tell a player to stop fucking doing that.
Right. I understand the frustration with the missed shots, but bro, how about that pass for that? And that playmaking is coming along.
I know. And that three that he hit was so, so big. We needed that, you know? And, you know, like to me, I get it. Is you're seeing somebody like Bazley out there and somebody like Dort out there that aren't putting up the good offensive numbers, but you can't have everybody putting up, you know, 20 points a game. You need to have guys like Dort and Bazley that are doing the dirty work, you know? And Bazley would have got more minutes out there. Right? Except he didn't run back, sprint back two or three times. And coach started screaming at him, or not screaming at him, but let him know, you know? Like, there comes a point where everybody's hustling. Mm-hmm. And you notice the one guy that's not running back, you know? And I remember we had this guy, his name was Josh Correll, playing alongside me, right? He was like 6'8", right? And Josh Correll was, or 6'8", 6'9", whatever. He was a big dude. And I remember one day I was like, I need you to sprint back every single time, you know, and it was practice. I need you to sprint back every single time. And we started doing that. We started getting him better. Why? Because he was so big and he was so had such an ability to dunk the ball that we would have gotten on a fast break. Right. And he was wide open a lot of times. So when I see somebody like Bazley, that's almost there sprinting, but not quite, you know, and then I'm seeing like us being on a 4-on-5 opportunity, like we're literally four guys on offense and we're playing against five defenders and we still score, you know, it's like, okay, this team is so like in tune with everything else that's going on. Like they recognize that Bazley's not getting back right away and they go right into the offense still and they still find the open shot.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it shows you the coaching staff and how Coach D and how his assistants are all in tune of making sure this team is in sync and knowing where everybody's at. And I get excited. I get excited watching Isaiah Joe. I get excited about watching Kenny Hustle. I get excited about Giddy, Shea. Mike Muscala got the start today, man. Hell yeah. I'm all for this, man. He was two for two in free throws, 3 for 7 on the field goal. He had 8 points, 4 rebounds, 2 of which were offensive. He had an assist. I felt he played really big in the 16 minutes that he played. And this is what we need from these guys.
Yeah, man. It's team ball and getting the win. you know, by relying on each other. That's what it's all about. So obviously we got a tough schedule coming up, but it's not as hard as some of the things we've seen. I think it goes Atlanta. I think then we play the Golden State, and then we play the Rockets a couple times and Golden State again. So we have a chance to move up the rankings by beating Golden State and things like that. So we'll see what happens. We're tied for 10th again. We're pumped up about this run that we're on, and hopefully we can just keep getting wins and really assert ourselves in this conversation for the playoffs going forward. Man, I'm pumped up that you guys continue to join us, pumped up that this is something that you make a part of your day, and we love just having so much fun getting on here with you guys.
Yeah, man, and I cannot say enough thank you to all the comments, the people responding and everything else like that. And, you know, I was telling Mark before I got on this podcast, and he kind of was like, you need to tell everybody this, but, like, I'm a big dude, all right? So 2 weeks ago, when Mark and I put out one of our podcasts, and, you know, it got a lot of responses. And then it started getting to the point where we get all these comments and people just being really nice, you know? Like, it's powerful. And then I start getting motivated, you know? And I start getting up at 4:30 in the morning and start working out. You know, I've dropped 11 pounds. I'm getting back in shape. I want to be a better version of myself. And I keep on thinking, like, you know, what does that do? You know, is it due to just because I have motivation? No, it's due because you guys are the ones that are motivating me. And the power that you guys have had on me and the positivity you've had on me is something I can't even express. And I thank you. I really, really thank you. All the amazing conversations that we're having, all the talking we're having, it really means a lot to me. And I will forever be grateful to you guys. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for continuing to join us. And we're just getting started, man. Everybody's getting ready to move past football. And we're about to turn this thing up to an 11. So thanks for joining us, guys. And we will see you soon. Thunder up.